Several years ago, when I was younger, you're probably wondering, how's that possible? But it is. I used to be a biology and religion teacher. I was fascinated with the relationship between faith and science, the interplay between them, and how faith can actually point to God, and how our faith can illumine our natural world in a much more beautiful way. And so as this coronavirus thing was happening, I was reflecting upon the mechanism of how this virus actually infects people. So obviously I'm no expert for sure, but this is what kind of I've learned and understood. So the way that the virus works is that the virus is basically just like a capsule with genetic information inside of it. And what happens is when it gets on our hands and we touch our eyes or our nose or our mouth, it can get into our body. And once it gets into our body, it can get into one of the critical parts of our body, which is our lungs. Once it's in our lungs, this virus has a particular receptor on its capsule, which acts almost like a key. And this key enables the virus to enter into the cell of the lung. And then once it's in the cell of the lung, it begins to replicate itself over and over and over again until the cell is destroyed. And then the other cells in the lungs begin to be infected with the newly replicated viruses. Now this, we can see why it's already damaging to the lungs, but what it actually does is it triggers an immune response from the body. The body's trying to deal with this foreign agent that's destroying the lungs, and so the immune system comes in to protect the body. But what the virus does to the immune system is that it actually confuses the immune system. And what the immune system begins to do is that it actually begins to attack not only the virus, but also the cells of the lung as well. And we can see why this type of infection can lead to very serious illnesses, why people would need respirators, and could lead to death. And so, upon reflecting upon coronavirus, I just saw a very strong similarity to the spiritual world. See, coronavirus is very similar to sin, the virus of sin. Sin doesn't go into our lungs as such, but it goes into our hearts. It can cause confusion. It can cause us to fight amongst ourselves. And just as coronavirus can lead to natural death, so too the virus of sin leads to natural and also spiritual death. Because what it does is it enters into our hearts, it destroys not tissue, but sin can destroy our trust in God. That's what we see in the first reading today. You know, imagine you're an Israelite and you have just seen the 10 plagues ravage the mighty Egypt. Then you walk through the Red Sea and you see water on either side of you. And then you're in the desert. And then God is leading you by a pillar of fire by night, and by day he's a pillar of cloud. And he even makes manna and quails rain from heaven to feed you. How would you respond in the midst of further trial? With trust, with gratitude, with love? Listen to how the Israelites responded. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food." What had happened to the Israelites is that the trust in their heart had died. Sin had infected their heart. And so the subsequent death that they experienced from the serpents, in a way, was a sign and representation of the spiritual death that they had already experienced. And so, like us, we are no different in a way from the Israelites. When we experience troubles and trials, how many times are we tempted to distrust God? See, because sin leads to death, and we know that. The wages of sin is death, as St. Paul reminds us. Because if we cut ourselves off from the source of life by serious sin, what else is there but death? And so what happens is Jesus reminds us of this truth. He says, you will die in your sins. You will die in your sins. But what he's doing is he's coming to provide the cure. He's coming to provide the healing. He's coming to provide the vaccine. You know, the reason why, one of the reasons why coronavirus is so deadly is that we don't have a vaccine for it. And so a lot of companies are working to develop a vaccine that can trigger the immune response so that it can respond of its own accord to the coronavirus. Well, what's really interesting, what's happening now is that in China, there have been a few cases, not a large number of cases, in cases where there are critically ill patients. What they began to do was they actually began to use the blood of recovered patients to help treat these people. A small number have recovered, about 3 of them have recovered from this, so it's a small sample. But I found that really interesting. The blood of recovered patients are used to heal people. My brothers and sisters, we already have the vaccine. Jesus says to us, you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am He. Jesus is the vaccine. He is our healing. In a way, it's like He took upon Himself the infection of sin. He took upon Himself the consequences of our sin. Right? It wasn't that Jesus sinned because He is truly God and so He's sinless, but He took upon our consequences. And that's why St. Paul says, He who knew no sin became sin for us. He took upon the consequences of our sin and He died. And He died to show that He has even power over death. And by His resurrection from the dead, He showed that He's victorious even over death. He showed that He is immune to death. And we too can participate in this immunity. The vaccine that we have received from Jesus is the blood and water that flows from His side. It's the sacraments, particularly baptism and confession. And so in the moments when we're tempted and we're fearful, we need to know that we already have the vaccine, and it's in the sacraments. And if you are able to contact your priest in any way, they can go for a walk with you, they can hear your confession in your car, you can come to the church, because that is the vaccine that heals the spiritual death that we can experience. So we're called to have no fear. You know, there's a story about the 40 martyrs of Sebaste. And this is in the 4th century. What had happened was these soldiers, the emperor found out that these soldiers were Christians. They believed in God. And so what they did was they stripped these soldiers naked and they put them onto a frozen lake. And beside the lake was a warm bathhouse. And the persecutors were saying to them, you know what? All you got to do is deny Jesus and you can go into have this warm bath. And imagine that. You're freezing cold and all you have to say is, I deny Jesus, and you're instantly warm again. One man decided to deny his faith, and so he ran into the warm bath. But the Roman soldiers, seeing the bravery of the 39 other men, joined in with their group to make their 40 numbers complete. And so all 40 of them died for their faith. They died and they're known as the 40 martyrs of Sebaste. The reason why they were able to die for their faith is because they knew that they already had the vaccine. They knew that they already had the victory over death. And so my brothers and sisters, as we journey through these troubling times with coronavirus and its fear looming over our heads, let the light of the resurrection dispel that darkness. For we know that we already have the cure. And St. Paul writing, knowing the victory of Jesus over death, knowing that this corruptible body will take on incorruptibility on the resurrection of the dead on the last day, he says, Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? And if you were alive today, you would say the same thing to us. You would say, oh, coronavirus, where is your victory? Oh, coronavirus, where is your sting? Praised be God who gives us the victory, Jesus Christ.